This evening I want to turn with you again to John's Gospel, and this time in chapter number 4. John's Gospel, in chapter number 4. And we are going to cut in at verse 13. The story that we are going to be cutting into at verse 13 is that personal, intimate interview that the Lord Jesus had with that poor woman down by the well of Sychar. And we want to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say to this dear woman. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the well that she was at. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said to them men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then there went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. We trust that the Lord will indeed add his rich blessing to this reading from his precious word tonight. Now, during the course of these meetings, we've been dealing with what I've chosen to call the major statements in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, at least some of them. These great, powerful, illuminating, concentrated statements of divine light and revelation. These great blazing beacons upon the shores of time, which at one and the same time warn men concerning perdition and hell and the lake of fire, and at the other time offering them hope and blessing and comfort and assurance and guidance and direction for their lives. And we've been looking at a few of these great powerful statements in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the section that we have read together this evening, we have another of these powerful, illuminating statements. A statement that was guaranteed to revolutionize the lifestyle of the woman to whom he spoke. And a statement which, ringing down through the centuries this evening, is calculated to revolutionize the lives of people who hear it and who pay heed to it. The Lord Jesus said to the woman by the well, pointing to the well from which she drank day by day, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, the water shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said, He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. This particular statement was made to a poor, discouraged, depressed, disillusioned, disappointed woman. A woman whose life had fallen apart on her. A woman who had never been able to establish a satisfactory human relationship. A woman who had seen all of her dreams turn to dust. A woman who had seen hope after hope dashed. A woman whose life had been filled with uncertainty and insecurity. It was to her that Jesus said, "Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again." What a tremendous message. That particular statement could be written across every single source of so-called satisfaction and pleasure of the humankind. There is no lasting, eternal satisfaction and security to be found in anything that pertains to mankind and his system of things. No matter how far you've explored and experimented to try and fill the vacuum in your heart, it is true that you'll thirst again. And you'll never be satisfied, ever. There is a vacuum in the heart of every man and woman that only God can fill, you know. And money and possessions and toys, however great we may have them, leave still a great aching vacuum in the heart that is unsatisfied and unfilled. You know, the greatest man that ever lived in this world, as far as money and possessions was concerned, was a man called Solomon. A man who had money beyond the ability to be able to reckon. A man who had no limit to what he could enjoy. And he exploited and explored, he tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, every single intellectual and sensual pleasure that man can go in for. He experimented with everything. And as that man comes to the evening shadows of his life, he looks back and you know what he says? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. The word vanity in the original language means feeding upon wind and emptiness. Emptiness, emptiness, all is emptiness and vexation of spirit. And that was said by a man who tried everything. And no matter what you dabble in, friend, no matter what pleasures you go in for, you'll find that this is true. You'll thirst again. And you'll never be satisfied. What the Lord Jesus said to this woman is just as true in 1991. Now, I want to talk to you now about the well. There was a source of temporary relief for the woman's condition. The well was always there, you know. And day by day she went to the well. But it was unable to provide lasting satisfaction. Oh, it was true. It helped, you know. It refreshed for a period. But there had to be that continual renewing of it. There had to be a continual going back to the well. The well was never intended to provide permanent satisfaction. It was only temporary. And so it is, dear friends. I'm not standing up here tonight and telling you there are no pleasures in this world. There are people who go in for pleasurable things in this world. Of course they do. But what I'm telling you is, dear friend, that the joys of earth can never fill the heart. and never satisfy. The Bible talks about pleasures being for a season. And that is true as far as the world's sources are concerned. The poet cried out in desperation, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me when I wailed." You know, this woman made a statement that's just amazing. She said to the Lord Jesus, "The well is deep. The well is deep." That's what she said. She was someone who knew something about that, you know, because the well was just a picture of her life. And I tell you, she had gone fairly deep in the attempt to find the answer to her problems. And we're all on a human level. We've all tried the well, you know, at one time in our life. And some of us don't go too deep, you know. We're on the nice clean section. We're just on the surface and we're enjoying the classics and the theatre and the library and so on. And these are nice things. Nothing wrong with them at all. Nice, pleasurable, decent things. But you know, dear friend, you'll find out that the deeper you go, the worse it becomes. And it still doesn't satisfy. And this woman had gone right down to the bottom of the well. She had. And she still wasn't satisfied. And there are people today who are right down at the bottom. They're down in the muck and the sludge, and they're dredging the bottom of the well. They're down there amongst the alcohol and the drugs and the sex and the pornography. And you know, dear friend, they're no more satisfied than they were before. The well is deep. Dear friend, how deep are you tonight into the well? How deep have you gone? Your testimony must surely be that you still aren't satisfied. Because I tell you, after all the jingle has stopped, after all the music has stopped, after all the excitement is past, get back into your own room, and there's an emptiness, a vacuum that the world cannot fill. Now I want to talk briefly about a religion. You know, we mustn't imagine this woman hadn't a religion. Well, she had. She was very proud of it. Of course, we couldn't say that she was really a sort of, out and out religionist. She was more a sort of adherent, you would say. Eh? I mean, this sort of woman with her lifestyle, she was a sort of adherent. She believed in the church in some way or other. And she was quite proud of the fact that she had an association with the church. And she could talk about her fathers, the holy fathers that had gone before, and she could talk about the religious artifacts that they possessed down yonder in Sychar, and she was all excited about this. I want to tell you something, dear friend, it hadn't done her one bit of good. And I hope you don't think for a minute that we're trying to peddle religion here tonight. We're not. We're not trying to sell you a new religion. We're not trying to sell you membership of the church here. We aren't. We're trying to bring you to a person, the person of Christ. And we're going to tell you there's no satisfaction to be found in religion. There's no satisfaction to be found in a church. There's only satisfaction to be found in Christ. Now, moving on, as time is going very rapidly, I want to talk about her relationships. When the woman hears about this great water, the Lord Jesus says, "Listen, I can solve your problem. You know all these problems you've had in your life, lady? I can solve them. I can bring eternal satisfaction to you, not because of things that you're enjoying from without, but I want to fill you with a spring of satisfaction, a wellspring or satisfaction springing up within you to everlasting life, and you'll never thirst again. The woman says, that's a great idea. Sir, I would like to have that. I would like to enjoy this living water that you've got. She would like that. She wanted to have her life's problems dealt with. She wanted her agony, and she wanted her disappointments and her disillusionment and her hopelessness to be dealt with. And the Lord Jesus says, I can deal with that. But however, it wasn't just that the Lord Jesus had come along to ease her personal problems. There was, as we were hearing last night, a more fundamental problem. And the Lord Jesus was going to tell this woman that that had to be dealt with before anything else could be dealt with. Before she could enjoy the living water, she had to have something dealt with. And he says, go call your husband. Now, this is getting a bit close to the bone, isn't it? I mean, it's all right talking about the well and the religion and so on, but this is getting too much. She says, sir, I have no husband. And the Lord Jesus says, that's right. That's right. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. That's what it says. Now, we don't know the background in us as to why this woman had this sort of life. It may be that it was nothing at all to do with her situation. Her husbands may have died, for all we know. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord Jesus brings this into the open. And you know, dear friend, the gospel was never intended just to be a panacea for your life's problems. That will come later, but it's intended to deal with the root problem. The problem of sin in your life. And that's what Jesus wants to deal with. And it's only when that is dealt with that you'll ever get living water. You know, I want to talk, just as I draw to a close, about the woman's reaction. No, the woman could have covered up and said, well, listen, wait a minute. There's been a lot of problems, and I want to explain what happened. She didn't. She didn't even try. She didn't become defensive about it and say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. She didn't say that at all. She says, sir, I have no husband. Absolute open confession. You know, dear friend, you're better to start there with God, because he knows all about you before you start. God knows everything. And this woman realized that, and she says, I confess that. And the Lord Jesus came and he ministered to her that living water. She confessed her sins. They were forgiven. And the Lord Jesus gave her this living water. Dear friend, tonight, are you going to confess in God's presence? Are you going to confess as I once did? Because, you know, don't think we're up here sort of throwing stones at you. Far be the thought. You know, we're all condemned in the presence of God, every one of us. The only difference between the unbeliever and the believer is that we've been forgiven. And we would like you to be forgiven, dear friend. We would like you to have this eternal satisfaction. We would like you to have your sins removed. And like this woman, to be able to leave your water pot, to leave the old life behind. And go out and tell others, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.